if you have to write a paper on Bartleby the Scrivener by Melville, this is the show for you.
I'm so fucking drunk.
Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's the Keith and the Girl Show.
All right.
You should be drunk after all you drank.
I had a little bit to drink.
A little bit.
So we were watching, Bartleby. I kept going into, where do I go to get videos?
Blockbuster?
I go to a little place called Blockbuster.
You're retarded.
I love the drink. We go into Blockbuster, and I keep seeing some independent film that'll keep catching my attention. And if I see enough ads for something, I have to see it. Like, we were talking about Garden State, and that ended up sucking, but he made the rounds, and I saw him on Letterman, and I saw that guy on Scrubs, which is good, and I'm like, you got me. I'll see it. It wasn't that good.
No, it was terrible. I expected it to be good, but really, like, more in a girly way. I don't know if you were going to like it at all. I don't think I ever thought that you were going to like it, but I expected it to be, like...
And I don't go there with a bad
cheesy,
attitude.
But I expected it to be cheesy good. You know, the kind that you just go, I'm kind of glad I saw that. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So
anyway, I kept seeing this Bartleby thing, and the reason, of course, it catches my eye is because your mother needed to write a paper for her school. Explain that.
When was this? This was
This was a while ago because we just printed it out to read it to you guys, and I almost didn't remember it, and I would catch a line here and there and go like, I wrote that. I wrote that for your mom. I wanted to tell her that when we met.
Oh yeah. Well, she went to local college. And she has her associates now, and she's almost up to her bachelor's. But every here and there, she needs help with her papers. And this one, we actually just flat out wrote for her. But you know what? She's not the only one doing that. Like, there are papers being sold all, like, serious people who are in school for, you know, that they're going to use it afterwards. My mom's not going to use this school for afterwards.
Everybody cheats. You know what? The high school is just like college. If you leave 12th grade and now you're going into 13th grade, there isn't a difference. And that is why I thought college would be bullshit to join. Because there isn't a difference.
There's not a difference, but there's if you want it to be a difference, if like you're interested in what you have to learn, if you're not doing it just to kind of go.
And
you
who
know,
isn't,
the next
you know.
Step.
You're 5%. Who is it?
Yeah, not even 5% probably, but I don't know. Maybe that's why doctors are so scary and they don't know what they're doing because maybe somebody wrote that paper that now you're coming in with that disease and somebody wrote that paper.
I always think about that. I always think, like, if you think about it, I could have been your doctor. I could have went to school for the 10 to 20 years and be your doctor now. And how many times have you seen a doctor? And doctors, you know... Like, unless you're somebody that's really good, then you're catering to people with money. Otherwise, you're just people come in, and then they're like, oh, no, Keith, your leg's good. Your leg's good. What are you doing? I'm doing this. Oh, that's not good. Now you have to do this. I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. You know what? Just leave then, because I got so many people coming in. I'm a doctor. I don't give a fuck.
I'm a doctor. People will come. I don't need you.
Right.
But there are those doctors. It reminds me, I went to the emergency room with someone, and she happened to get a really incredible doctor who just knew all these things, just knew, and you could just tell because he was full of information, wanted to give you the information, gave you other information about other things that you asked, and I'm like, why do you know all this? Mm. And we go to a doctor, and they're usually
clueless.
Well, I
think it's because what I wanted to say, I don't even know if what I said makes sense, but what I wanted to say is that you get so many assholes, too. Like a regular job, like compared to McDonald's. And they get so many retarded customers that somehow are so retarded ordering a burger that you just think everybody's retarded. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's why they don't even want to bother with nothing. You know, that's why when I go, can I give you 3 cents extra so that, you know, I can get my change back in dollars? But I already typed it into the computer. You know, you don't got to be smart. If you have any kind of intelligence, you think everybody's stupid and you give up on everybody. So doctors deal with all these stupid people and they give up on everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But this guy knew everything. And
there's only a few of them.
Let me tell you why. Because he's like, I just go home and read up on new things. Because he's like thirsting for it. He's like, I love it. Right. I read all about it every night.
And then he's going to learn. You can make money because you're one of those few people that give a fuck.
I'm sure he'll make money.
Yeah, he'll make money. And he won't be there for us anymore. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So your mom, who speaks broken English,
yeah,
we're writing this, and I keep trying to like dumb it down a little. I'm like, she doesn't know words like that and in.
Yeah, and she tells us not to write words like that because it's gonna sound like she didn't do it. Although when I've helped her write a report one time, if I use the different, it's a little more fancy language because it's a paper, she will pick up like, oh, that's another way of writing what I've been writing, and it helps. Her English has greatly improved. I know it didn't show when you met
her. A college student just downloaded this and was like, no, seriously, I don't have time for Cliff Notes. Can you fuckers hurry up?
Yeah. Oh, you know what, though? She a lot of times, she will get a better score than other people in her classes that were born and raised here, even without my help, without anybody's help. She's like, I don't believe it. I got it back. And she always says, she's like, I got better than the people who actually speak English, because she actually takes the time and goes home and studies it. And when you are born here and you're just going to some random, you know, college, you don't give a shit.
How about this, though? What if she writes in her broken English how she wrote a great English book, right? What's she going for? That she read Herman Melville's Barnaby.
Just a regular old, I don't know.
But why that? This is just a class, and then she has a science class?
She takes
So what if, like, as for the English class, she wrote something in broken English, and the teacher makes up what she's trying to say and is like, that is perfect. You know what I mean?
What, like it's art?
No, like I don't know what she's trying to say, but I think I do know what she's trying to say, and it's exactly what's in my head. Right? So anyway, we never read Bartleby.
No. I never even heard of it.
I never read what I had to read. I got in all these
extra
English classes because I was real smart, but I wouldn't read. I hated reading. I took speech and drama because I would be the only guy, but then the drama came in where you had to read, and I wouldn't read. I wouldn't read Lord of the Flies. For what? What's going to happen? Lord of the Flies, the greatest book ever written, Lord of the Flies. Surprise! Surprise they picked on the weak kid. What a fucking surprise. And then what did they do? Did they break his glasses? What a surprise. One teacher came with them on this island and they killed the teacher. What a surprise. Write that in case the book you're writing is Lord of the Flies. How would you sum it up? Surprise. A conch and surprise. What a dumb fucking book. So we look up Bartleby on the internet and all you see is all these little faggots going, and you know they're adults. I prefer not to. I prefer not to, he says. What if we all did that in life? I prefer not to. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, this is a great book of great literature.
It was weird. It was weird, but like at the same time, I wanted to give it that artsy credit. And so I was like, you know what? I get it. He's saying I prefer not to.
I already gave up going, this is old and it sucks. How come all old things get credit?
But I thought, we never say, like, especially in a job, no, I don't want to do that. Right. I don't care if you're my boss. This is, you know, I'm still a human being and I don't want to do it. So I thought, you know, that's kind of where it was going. And I think it is, but they just kept going with it. And the only thing in the book is like, I prefer not to, without something backing it up or moving the point a little further or teaching us a little more. It's like everyone made up the point. Like, I prefer not to.
Yeah, they made up the point. Yeah. Isn't that, like, society wants you to do stuff?
Right. But somebody should rewrite it.
We'll get to it later, but they tried to rewrite a little bit for the movie.
That rewrite was stupid. What did they rewrite? Instead of a...
Who knows? We didn't read it, though.
No, he specifically said in the book, Bartleby had a window, but the window was, like, the wall was all brick, and only the top was the window. And he used to stare out at the top of the window. So their rewrite was, instead of him staring outside of the top of the window, they made the whole wall window, and he's staring at the vent, the air coming out at the vent. Great fucking rewrite. You made it modern. That's not the rewrite I'm talking about. I'm talking about make it more clear what the free will is and
because it was stupid. They couldn't make it more clear. I got a feeling. Granted, I didn't read it. So that could be your argument to argue with me. But I know it fucking sucked. And knowing it sucked and not really knowing what it was about, this is what we wrote for your mom. Ready?
Yes. Should I read it or are you reading
it? I'll read it.
Okay.
Because I want to be surprised. Bartleby the Scrivener, The Importance of Free Will. I made that up.
No, you didn't.
I made up The Importance of Free Will.
No, you didn't.
I think I did.
No, I actually think it was one of the topics that she had to write about, the importance of
No, you had to put what you made, what you thought about the book.
No, I think free will was...
I'll find out.
I'm going to
ask. Mrs. Khalili, I wrote that.
Anyway.
While there are many themes in Herman Melville's Bartleby the Scrivener, and this we learned in the movie, is that he's the great raider, and he did Moby Dick, and his best work was Moby Dick and Bartleby, and then at 75 he died unknown.
Yeah.
And you said, how sad. How do you become a great... Like, time is time, and that time zone is no different than this time zone. If you were a great, say, a Paris Hilton, and you stopped sucking dick, you're not going to die at 90 years old like, who's Paris Hilton? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. If Robin Williams never made a joke, which he hasn't in 20 years, it's the same exact thing, not who's Robin Williams. I don't think they really liked Herman Melville, and now we go back and be like, here's somebody that published something. I bet nobody published anything way back then. I'm hitting a theory right now. Nobody published anything way back then, and any book we find from the 1760s or whenever is going to be genius.
You mean like nobody was paying attention to anything?
Nobody was writing. I got a feeling like Melville and this guy and... And who's the greatest comic ever? Mark Twain. They're the only ones writing books.
People were writing? What do you mean nobody was
say
writing?
I say they weren't. The book's called Bartleby the Scrivener. A scrivener is somebody that
copies
handwritten. They couldn't Xerox nothing. They hand wrote shit down on a paper. How are you making books? Nobody's writing books if that's what you have to do to make books.
Well, books started as magazines, right? And every week you would get the next chapter, and people would look forward to it. There had to be writings.
Okay, but nobody wrote a book. It's something to do a book. It's something to do a book now. But then, if you can do a book, somebody scrivened you.
Oh, you mean people wrote books, but it wasn't copied and sent out because it was so hard because they didn't have the mechanics to do it. And that's why it didn't get popular, because you couldn't
I'm sure people wrote books. What, they just handed their one copy?
Right, that's what you're saying. So they
yeah, it's hard there to were five publishers back then.
So you couldn't make copies of
them. And now we got to fucking suffer through them. And every English great has to pretend, because she didn't end up writing a book, Mrs. Watson.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
Anyway, you got through like half. You know what?
No, seriously,
sentence.
I would like to apologize to Mrs. Watson, because that's the first English teacher name I thought of, but she was nice. It was Mrs. 2 years later. I'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are many themes in Herman Melville's Bartleby. By the way, he wrote, what did I say he wrote?
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick. What the fuck? Never read that either. I bet it sucks. Such as alienation, Bartleby has in parentheses. Bartleby, you read, please.
Well, there are many themes in Herman Melville's Bartleby the Scrivener, such as alienation. Bartleby has a divider put up so that the other Scriveners cannot see him, and the other Scriveners feel alienated by the narrator's lack of resolve, the desire to have a free conscience. When fired, Bartleby is offered money. You know, this sounds like you're writing, because
right.
You love run-on sentences.
Please. Yes. I was struggling. I do, because I love to talk, but I was struggling writing this. And you know, like, it was like... such as alienation, and then I would take things from other websites. He puts a divider up. He does this. The desire to have a free conscience. And then I was like, he was offered money above his wages. Avoid conflict. He did this. What is all those pages? All these pages are stupid. How come whenever somebody goes, you have to make a... How many people do we know? They're like, I'm writing my thesis. And it has to be 7 to 10 pages. You're in college now. Are you an adult? You're not in high school.
Free will.
You don't have to be taught 7 to 10 pages. Just turn in one page, and right in the middle of the page it says closure. Right? And the teacher goes, that is genius. A+.
Just to let everybody know, Keith had a huge problem with this paper because papers get written up what you have to explain things in a certain way, as opposed to this, you know, like it, you know how papers are. I can't find an example, but let's read it all. Anyways, the first paragraph closes as all these themes revolve around one very prominent issue: free will.
Which is all we know is I prefer not to do it. I guess that's free will. And now we got to turn that into four pages.
Bartleby does not write original work, he copies. As a scrivener, Bartleby is involved in neither the origin nor the destination of
nor.
His work.
Nor. Once you write nor, I give you an F.
He is a medium, like most of us, part of a bigger machine that moves something along from pointless origin to unknown goal. Bartleby decides that, instead of agreeing to every task, assignment, or project that his employer requires him to do, he will opt not to, or, quote, prefer not to do
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding.
By taking this stance, Bartleby is choosing his path outside of the routine office environment and sets himself apart from his colleagues, co-workers, and employers.
That's genius. That is genius. That is genius. I want to start a religion around that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it's easy.
Almost immediately, we are attracted, even if disgusted.
Right? That's the irony. It. Yes,
that's
thank you.
It.
Even if disgusted. Right, teacher? Oh, right, hack English.
To the character of Bartleby, even with the very first exclaim of, I would prefer not to. As a scrivener, a person who hand copies pieces of work, he is a highly dedicated employee at first. This soon changes as he, quote, prefers not to proof his work, then prefers not to copy at all, then prefers not to leave the office when fired. Eventually, Bartleby prefers not to even live.
Oh, that is deep. He prefers not to live even. Like, what if we did that? What if we did that? That's awesome. That is so deep. What if we prefer not to do that?
You know what?
I prefer not to write this paper.
I think we were just looking for something to fill in a paragraph. That's
absolutely.
Why,
no, yeah. We were seriously done at that first paragraph.
Yeah.
We tried to make four pages.
Right, because the whole concept is the fact, because here it is. Here's the whole thing in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Bartleby is a person with a boring job who ends up taking a stance and keeps saying prefers not to. This shows some sort of free will, or this book is trying to present free will or trying to show free will. That's it. That's
yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we had to take that sentence
and make
those
it four
two
pages.
Yeah. As a result of his choice to use his free will, Bartleby loses his job and ultimately is imprisoned. This brings one to wonder, does free will, i.e. going against the grain, result in solely negative results? Does the fact that Bartleby lost his job, got incarcerated, and died in jail mean that he did not live his life as he wished?
Would black people ever be free if we just followed the norm?
On the contrary.
Oh.
For possibly non-apparent reasons, one can be inspired by this behavior. Bartleby is a person who took a stand. He decided to speak his mind and to relay the message that there is a preference that an individual can have regardless of place and time.
Mm.
In his declaration, he shows that you can have freedom of speech and freedom of will even in an environment that frowns upon such actions, an environment such as the workplace.
Oh.
This shows that Bartleby's procedures can be viewed as the desire to preserve a sense of self and self-dignity.
Oh!
We are good.
We're pretty good. We're pretty good.
I don't know if we copied that, though, from someone else. But we are good. No, I think at least half of that paragraph we wrote. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
In conclusion,
it took us 3 days, but...
No, it didn't.
It took us time.
It took you 3 drinks in one day.
Oh, maybe.
In conclusion, Bartleby's constant use of the phrase, I would prefer not to...
is A, clever, and B, genius. I'm glad you're dead.
Is representative of his desire to do what he pleases rather than what his boss wishes of him. I believe we already said that. This can be perceived to be presentative of common feelings amongst many people in their workplace. Bartleby speaks out as countless people wish to do every day, yet do not have the strength, force, or power to accomplish that desire. Bartleby makes the decision to use his free will and not be a regular part of society, although he uses that free will to the very unorthodox, if not exaggerated, end.
That was me. Thank you.
Amazing. Now that was well written, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, it might have been silly.
Much.
It was well written. Now my mom hands us his and she's like, I think this is the paper. I think this is how you say
what I turn in?
There is no turn-in. My mother does not know.
I prefer to give this to you.
I learn in this what prefer means, so I believe $1,000 is good for this.
He died at 75 years, I'm being not unknown.
Even,
that's
I'm
so,
not even making
shame.
Fun of my mom. Like, no, she, I know. She even says, she's like, I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to tell that it's me or not me. And
right.
I think they gave her an A-minus or an A on this.
An A-minus. Minus for lie. A for all your relatives' boyfriends trying so hard.
But I love that my mom went to college because it's a
She is so proud of that picture. By the way, you said something, I don't know if when we met you said something about it or she just brought it up on her own, but that was like an in for me, and I was like, I saw that picture, that's great, good for you.
Her
that
graduation like picture with her yeah. gown on and everything. We have it up here at our place. But
yeah, she was like, she didn't know what degree she got. And she was like, it was a...
No, she didn't know. She knows what
Not
it
a
is.
Bachelor's, it
she
was
forgot.
A... And
Associate.
I was like, associates. It's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I saw the picture, it's great. She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aww,
yeah, she's proud
nice?
Of it.
She's so sweet.
She's nice. And I was like, yeah.
She's actually very proud of it. It's not like I have a degree. Her other son doesn't have a degree.
Yeah, but you're dating me. She saw me.
Right.
Yeah. Good for you.
Anyway, but what was my point there?
So she got her degree and she gets an A+.
No, I totally lost my train of thought.
And
then we saw
the movie.
No, I'm really glad that she went to college because this is her first time experiencing school since, you know, back in the day. And, you know, back in
well,
the
day.
Well,
this is different. Now she's in American school.
Right. It's also different
than I'm just going to guess is more bullshit. Right?
Well, here's what she said. Because when we were younger, when we used to say, Mom, my French teacher is really stupid. Like, we would have some stupid teachers, you know? She would be like, okay, stop it. Just pay attention to your teacher. Like, everything would be, this is a teacher. They went and got a degree and, you know, and when she heard about when my brother was going to NYU, he would be like, this is the dumbest teacher ever. But she, you know, it was a professor teaching him. Right. So she's like, how can my brother say that a professor is stupid? He's got a degree. He went to school. He, you know, he studied things. These people are, you know, high ranked in my mother's head. Then she goes to school and she's like, these people are morons. I have to call this person a professor. And she didn't say all teachers, obviously, but she couldn't believe. She's like, you know what? You guys were right. And I didn't take you seriously at all. But some teachers, you can just bribe your way to an A. I made baklava. I know I'm getting an A.
Right.
Excuse me. Another teacher, you know, you just have to suck up to them and you know, go nice shirt every day. And another teacher, you really have to work hard and they're going to be bitches. And another teacher, you don't even have to show up. She's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe that these are professors. I can't believe that they're teaching anything. Like, it's unbelievable. She couldn't.
I happened to go to the bar one time and there they are drinking and hitting on chicks and playing pool.
I saw my teacher outside of class. Yeah, I loved that. I loved it.
So then I finally get Bartleby at...
Oh, we kept seeing it at the video store. And we're like, no, it can't be the same thing. Like, they're going to make a
I knew it was the same thing right away. You knew it was.
It was
and
weird.
I looked on the back. It was weird. It was weird because we just wrote it and saw it. And
right.
yet we knew it would suck and waited 6 months.
Right.
Right? More than 6 months.
Oh, no. We saw it on TV first. It was.
Did
it was,
we?
We didn't
oh,
watch it on
yeah.
TV.
We saw it on, like, one of those HBO On Demand. Comedy Central's
Not
now
on
demand. On demand.
No,
yeah.
it was just on a
oh, really?
A channel that plays
okay.
movies.
Okay, and then maybe it was on demand, still we couldn't get around to mm-hmm. it. Comedy Central's now on demand.
It's been on for a while, I just forgot to
tell
you.
Time Warner has fucking that Roadrunner, has horrible internet service, but their cable is fucking good. That digital cable, go digital, don't go dish. That on demand thing is fucking worth it.
It's crazy, we can't, there's no way, like
I keep forgetting to keep it up or we'd have more movie nights.
Right.
That is.
I would probably switch the online service, the Roadrunner service, because I think that.
But
we
probably
get
a good
stuff.
Deal to get the whole match,
exactly.
especially now we'll get the phone service.
Exactly, I'm not letting it go just because the cable thing is so great. I hate most television shows, so I end up watching the same show over and over again. Why? Because I can just tape it.
Do you know that You're Judging Amy is going to get canceled?
Well, it's about time.
You haven't been watching it.
No, because I lost my place because we went away and something happened.
You have to do that too, right? You have to watch it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like me and Blind Justice. It sucks, but it's grown on me. And I will, because I caught the first show,
right.
I will watch every show.
As soon as I
between
lost
catch,
my place.
Between catching the first show and this blind guy commenting on it, I will watch every show.
Great.
And God willing, he'll do one tomorrow.
But yeah, if I lose my place, then I can't do it. Like Gilmore Girls, I lost my place there, and I keep thinking I'll rent it from Netflix, and I just never get around to it.
But I think this, so we're guessing. this Bartleby book was not supposed to be funny. And this movie, Bartleby, was funny.
Yeah, and Keith goes like, wow, I kind of like it. It's funny. It's right. Maybe I should read the book. Maybe it was good. And I'm like, it's not supposed
and,
to be
and
funny.
And I was saying, like, yeah, like, maybe it's all these douchebags writing about it. Like, say, the book that's free on Shite.com, The Great American Novel. Like, if people just narrowed that down to a paragraph, maybe it'd sound kind of douchey.
Yeah, if they dissected Hell's your life.
Hell's Angels, you know, I don't know, his dad was a priest, and Hell's Angels raised him, and he was in prison. Now he says, fuck, 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 cunt, fuck.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if people know that you're talking about the book of your first 25 right. years yeah. of life. He wrote it like sort of an autobiography, but it's supposed to be funny. And I was saying, yeah.
Maybe this book was supposed to be funny, and these people fucked it up. You know, writing little cliff notes about it. And we're looking at it. We're like, this sucks.
Reading too much into
right.
it.
Right. And then people are going to go, you didn't read the book. And I'm like, no, I didn't. But this movie's
funny. But
you know
what? I think it could be funny just because you weren't expecting it to be that way.
I expected as you to be fucking horrible.
Yeah. But if you
and the only reason we saw it is because we took the time writing this.
That's
once.
True. That's true.
That we forgot about what we wrote. That was news to us too.
Well, we wrote it just to kind of get right. rid of it. It's not like we're gonna remember it because it's not anything that we would say or right. write about ever.
That was a good movie, with the great who's that?
Joe Piscopo.
The great Joe Piscopo, who everybody complains that he got funny after he worked out. He was never fucking funny.
After he worked out with weights, you mean?
Yeah, he got real big. He got huge. He was never funny, ever. And I took the time to look it up, to watch Saturday Night Live and rent the Joe Piscopo special. It was horrible. He's like friends with Eddie Murphy, and it was terrible. And they were watching this movie, and it was funny. And he's just an Italian guy, so he plays a bigger Goomba asshole. But that's what he plays in all his roles in Sidekicks, I remember,
however,
with Chuck Norris.
And in his defense, that's what most Italians play, the
okay,
Goomba.
Okay, so not in defense. That means he's a bad actor and he's not funny.
What do you mean?
In his defense, that's what most Italian people play? Okay.
Yeah, so what is he supposed
Well, then
to
he's
do?
Not interesting enough. He should be a comic. He's acting like he's a comic. Is this right. my fault? Because I think he's a comic. He's supposed to automatically be smarter than every other actor.
Oh, that's wrong.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really? Because he's a comic. I think that means you're fucking smart. Not a character actor comic. Like a stand-up comic. That's what he was. And no, I haven't seen him do stand-up, but I bet he did. I guarantee he did.
Why do you think comics are smart?
To do stand-up, you should be smart. I'm going way off. But Steve Carell. Is a stand-up, does stand-up, is on The Daily Show, is the guy in the new The Office, which I didn't see, but he's somebody, but I assume he's very, very smart, and is somebody that would go, why fuck around with a good thing, like the British version of The Office?
I
Do
see.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm extra mad at him, because he should have better sense.
But as a comic, how many roles are you going to possibly get to play? If somebody gives you the opportunity to take The Office...
Okay.
Made in England.
Okay.
Which is doing really, really
First
well.
First of all, he's on The Daily Show. He can do better. Who's that other guy on The Daily Show? I forget.
The finger pointing guy?
No. Not Lewis Black. But the guy that is more, just a little more straight laced. I guess they all act like anchors. But a little more straight laced was on Strangers with Candy. That guy picks good roles. Steve Carell's getting nervous. Who's that other guy on The Daily Show that was, that did 10 Things I Hate About You? I happen to like 10 Things I Hate About You, but that guy's getting nervous about money, and he's like, I gotta go here. Wait at The Daily Show and calm the fuck down. Wait at Saturday Night Live and calm down. Am I making sense? Am I just jumping around?
No, you're making a lot of sense, but I think that I think that picking your parts is probably a very, very difficult thing, and you probably think that exposure is good, and that this will just lead to the next thing, and you can't just
Not Bravo. You're on NBC. Don't go to Bravo so quick.
Right. I just, you know, I wonder what kind of decisions that, you know, both you and I will make.
Well, I'll get money, you know. I want him to defend himself. I want him on the show. And they go, why? Money. Okay.
Maybe they offered him a chunk of money, you know. That's, then you're thinking, like, good. I don't have to, you know, be scrounging for the next job. It's not like they have some kind of plan. Like, okay, I have this job. That means I have this job forever. He might only be sitting on a year's worth of money. And then that show gets canceled. He's screwed. And he could just be, you know, a security guard in a year, you know?
Right, and then they'll end up homeless, and I'll be mad going, they're comics. They're the ones that are supposed to be smart and make fun of things, and they didn't know to save money. But they're the first one to make fun of Britney Spears being pregnant.
Let me tell you something. You're a comic. How great are you with money?
I've never been. When I get money, I promise I won't fuck it up.
But you, but no, you're either good with money or you're bad with money. Or you have to pay attention a little more.
Okay, then you should know you have to pay attention a little more.
May I say?
Yes.
How bad you are with money.
We all get it.
This person.
We all get it.
How do we get it?
We all get it.
No, you keep going like, no, all these people owe me money. I'm definitely going to be on time with rent. And you miscalculate every single time. Not once have you been on time for rent.
That's not true.
Except for one time.
More than once. I would say three times. One time. I would say three times.
Is that easily. A lot in over 2 years?
Don't turn it around. Don't turn it around.
The one time that you were on time with rent is not fair. Was that fair, people? Is because you won a contest.
Thank you. I did.
And then you were on time one time with rent. Because by then, all that contest money.
And the time after that. And the time after that.
No.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
I knew you would say that. Let me explain to you. Please explain. By the time you won that money, you had already owed me one rent. And the rest of the money you owed me for other bills. And then you just paid the next month's rent. On time.
Okay.
So all the
so
money.
So that's two times in a row.
No, it's not. The you first time was late a late. On the no, one rent. Please. Yes, you were.
I disagree.
Yes, you were.
I disagree.
Yes, you were.
No, she loves to exaggerate.
It's not exaggerating. I can tell by the look on your face that it's not.
First of all, I never sent you the bill for your mother's paper.
Right.
Bartleby was $2,000.
Was it?
Yes.
Was it?
So you actually owe me $30.
Mm-hmm. I never sent you my agent fee for getting all those clown jobs when you had no job.
Okay,
was $3,000.
That's so interesting. Well, I'll tell you something else. I'll get back to you on that. So we're listening to the...
The sex cost me money now?
Did you like four of them? At the very end of the movie, we're watching the bonus stuff, and they have little interviews by people. Crispin Glover is the lead role of Bartleby.
Crispin.
And the only reason...
By the way, I hate that name.
Right?
I hate that name.
What do you mean you hate it?
Crispin?
Did you date one?
No, just the
That's a new name. What's wrong with that? Crispin. It's like a candy bar.
Crispin. You Crispin. Name your child Crispin.
What do you got to name? What did you want to name our children?
Jake.
Jake.
That's a normal
Jake,
name.
Jake, right, folks? 206-3-FOX-69. Call in. Jake.
What's wrong with Jake?
What is wrong with Jake? Jake the White Douche.
What? All of a sudden your people are no good?
Nah, don't turn it around. I'm saying white like white.
I just thought it was cute because Jake is good in English and in Hebrew.
Jake is good never. What's Jake in Hebrew? This is how she does it. She's like, and when my parents meet him, they'll call him...
What, Jake?
Yeah.
Yaakov.
Yaakov. Yaakov. That's what you want to be called. Yaakov.
Yaakov.
Yaakov. Come here, Yaakov. Lick my bags, Yaakov.
With an F.
Oh, with an F, not a ignorant. What's our daughter called?
Zoe.
Zoe. Zoe, right?
Zoe's a cute name.
Or they'll be called?
What, Sage?
No, no. Zoe, what's Zoe in
Zoe,
Hebrew?
Oh, Zoe, there's nothing in
That's
Hebrew.
Right, it's so pure. Zoe. Zoe and Jake.
Isn't that cute?
You so hate your race. That's all you're doing.
What do you want me to name them? Chagit and Cheskel?
You don't have to exaggerate with the ch and the t.
Okay, Chagit and Cheskel.
All right.
And then you'll have like That's three funny. Names that you can't pronounce
There's no,
in your house.
Please, you so gave up.
And by the way, did you notice that I'm for sure having a boy and a girl?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? But at the end, they had an interview with, the only reason I bring it up because I want to get back to Joe Piscopo, but they have interviews at the end on this DVD of Crispin Glover, who played Bartleby, this creepy fuck. No actors are actors, and Crispin Glover is just as creepy as he is in Bartleby.
He also played, actually, they called him Creepy Man in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, he's the creepy guy in Charlie's Angels?
They kept referring him to Creepy Guy, as Creepy Guy.
He's the nerd dad in Back to the Future, and everybody says he's a fucking weirdo. And this guy that made this movie was like, lucky to have him. And what did he say? What did he say on a mini, you know what? Look up Bartleby and look up the director of that movie. I kind of like that guy a little bit. And he's like, Crispin Glover came in and he was committed to his character.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. You're a douche. You're an Andy Kaufman douche. You just walked in and you're like, I'll be creepy forever. I'm like, oh, he's very committed. Can you come over here and do your part? I prefer not to. All right, well, we're lucky to have you. I guess come when you want. Hilarious, says the New York Times. A stroke of genius.
Yeah, hilarious is not a word to describe something written by What's-His-Face, by Herman Melville. Hilarious.
Right, and we clicked on the trailer. Where was this trailer shown? We watch TV all the time. Mm-hmm. Where? Don't watch a movie if you didn't see the ad. Mm-hmm. That's all. And then the quote comes up. This guy kicks ass.
Yeah, that was a quote from somebody in...
From Ain't It Cool News. That big, bushy, mustache guy. It's an internet site.
Oh.
And I've heard that he's like a big sellout. Like, you sell him... You like give him they give him plane rides to a movie screening, and they buy him hookers. And I mean, he's a fat fuck. I don't see him doing hookers, but they
Why
give
not?
Him food.
That's who does hookers.
Okay, and they give him food and every. I don't mean food like food, but they give him food and like everything. Like you have a nice hotel, and then he goes back and rates everything's good
because
he loves everything.
That's not just him.
I'm sure it's not, but guy is like the guy. Like he's one of us that came up and made it, but he ended up being a sellout, and they got to him.
You're just pointing him out, but there's
actually... because he's the successful one.
Somebody on the, like, insider, for lack of a better word, but how everyone always gets a positive positive review in the newspaper. You actually have a screening of people who are dedicated to write happy things. What you do is you treat them like royalty. You have the screening, you have gourmet food. They get completely taken care of for the weekend, and then they write whatever it is that you put down for them.
Right, or you give it to them, and they sign it if they want to sign it. Like, you get a list of...
Exactly.
You get a list of 7 quotes, and you circle the one that you want. I'm serious, yeah.
Right, I know. I think we saw that thing together.
Yeah. You're saying, like, why couldn't they be true to the story? Because the story sucked. That Bartleby story had to suck.
No, but they switched the weirdest things, like the wall that was bricked up except for the window on top. Yeah. Instead, they made him look at a vent. Why couldn't they brick
Whenever
up the wall?
I'll tell you what, Bartleby.
Wait, what was modern about? I don't get it. They modernized it because there was no brick wall. There are brick walls.
I don't know. Why'd you have to mention the internet?
Yeah, it was so weird. It was as if they plugged the internet in there. They said,
"It's a funny joke.
Email me or mail me."
Right. So I never got to this, and I really want to, because I don't... At the end, they have interviews. Mm-hmm. And you click on the names. And all we clicked on was Crispin Glover and Joe Piscopo. And there's Joe Piscopo doing a little bit, like, where he's the tough guy in the office, this Goomba. And they go, what's the chicks like in the office?
Instead, what he's saying is instead of him being interviewed as himself,
I'd like to say I was going to explain that, people.
I thought that you already explained it.
No, thank you. Right? And she thinks I never pay rent.
You don't.
Thank you.
When was rent paid this month?
Oh, Christ. Can we talk once?
You know what? Friday is the first. I'm going to report to everybody whether you paid it on Friday.
You know
Friday
what?
Or
what
not.
A great surprise that'll be for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. So,
And do the dishes.
Okay, thank you. So they have you click on Joe Piscopo, and he does an act. He does the character from The Thing, and I'm mad because I want to like give him another chance. You know, I want him to be this funny guy talking about the movie, not be a weird Crispin Glover. Just be like, yeah, I don't know, I never read that fucking book. This was okay.
Oh, Joe,
why
didn't you take Keith's second chance for you?
I would like to. Every time I see somebody do something, I'm like, I want to be your agent. You know,
true.
And tell them what to do.
Yeah, what I would say as his age is just be yourself and be more real than all these characters, and then people will understand why you're in this movie.
So Bartleby just sits there the whole fucking movie, won't leave any area. The whole office can't throw him out, moves the whole office, and the point is supposed to be, and then this office manager's life is ruined, and the point is supposed to be, don't question society sometimes.
Right.
I think the point is don't be a fucking pussy. Your life will be ruined. Grab him by the fucking collar.
I think that's the same point.
Yeah? Don't be a pussy. Don't be a pussy like a man. I don't mean don't be a pussy like a faggot.
Why didn't he just punch people when they asked him to do things?
Thank you.
Right.
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 No, I don't mean, I mean the guy. I mean the office manager.
Oh.
I'm more on the, everybody's on Bartleby's point of view. I'm looking at the manager's point of view, like kick him in the balls.
Right. I'd prefer not to work. Then get the fuck out. I'm calling security.
Right.
Bye.
Right.
That's the end of the book. It's one chapter in.
Oh, well. And then then Bartleby gets kicked out and he's on the street and then the office manager,
in the real story, he was in jail, but on this
he
died on the street.
And then he's on the street and the office manager feels bad because he goes to find him and Bartleby decided to live, just stand there like a doofus.
Yeah, because he prefers not to do anything anymore.
But he's still in his suit, completely shaved.
Yeah.
Just standing there.
Why did they make him shave? That's a big, big thing. He's with the rest of the bums. They all look like bums, sort of.
I was thinking people bought this movie, though, never knowing about this book.
His hair is still combed.
I just threw $2,000 in her face just now. The audience doesn't know that.
No.
And then,
See, that's the confusion. You think that your words are $2,000.
Oh, I just said $2,000.
And that's not how we pay rent.
$2,000.
Right. See, that's not rent.
Okay,
I can't go to the office and go, and I paid the bill. Thank you.
If you slam it real quick, though, you can't wait
to
talk to
them. Maybe you should go and...
I'll take care of it.
Oh, great. That sounds like we're going to have a roof over our heads in about a month.
So he's living in the soup kitchen. Never mind that. He's living in the soup kitchen. And,
he's living under the bridge.
Right. My brother, Ken, worked at a soup kitchen. Ken, the real religious one, always go to church, worked in a soup kitchen, and I think just for one day, and would say, like, these bums would come up, and they don't like the food they have. And I'm like, this is what you get. It's free. Fuck you. Take it or don't take it.
Didn't say that.
No, he thought it in his head, but he's like, fuck you. This is all I have. What do you want? Mm-hmm. He's the real religious, caring one. And then we talked before about the people that work in soup kitchens and how they love to work on Easter and Christmas, but it's always
mostly
full.
Christmas and Thanksgiving is a big
right,
one.
Right, right.
So here's what happens. I'm a great person and I want to work for Thanksgiving because, Thanksgiving is the holiday where everyone feels alone, so I'm going to go and work in a soup kitchen. Meanwhile, when you call up the soup kitchens, they're like, we're sorry, but we're full, but can you come on another day? Nope, that's the day. I'm giving you Thanksgiving or it's nothing. But if Thanksgiving falls on a day that you have off, go on some Saturday. People are still homeless on some random Saturday in the middle of the winter in January.
If you care and you don't go tomorrow, you're an asshole.
Yeah, why don't you go all your days off?
You didn't give blood on 9/11 because you couldn't. You could give blood now.
Exactly. It was too long a line on 9/11. Fine. Why don't you
Why
give
aren't
blood
I doing
now?
It? I didn't care then or now.
Yeah, we never pretended.
Right. What was it? What was it about the Bartleby thing about scams? Somebody was trying to. So he's in the soup kitchen, looking for Bartleby, and somebody goes, "Yeah, can I get $1.13 because this happened?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Here's $1.13. Just leave me alone." And New York City, you always get those little things, but sometimes
It was specifically $1.13, and he started making up some story about why I gotta get. Oh no! I gotta make copies of my
my manuscript and that
of my dissertation.
And it reminded me of a thing where I was working in the a pretty nice restaurant. And anyway, so I'm with this chick who's my boss. She's the manager, so she's a little classy herself. So she's smart. She's smarter. Like she's in a. I know I didn't explain it right, but fuck, that's.
I just love the. So she's a little classy. She's classy. I'm just from the country, but I know from classy.
She wears the skirt all the way down to her knees, and some guy comes up.
You know why she's classy, ladies and gentlemen? Because she said no to Keith.
And she's got taste. They always do. So she's got taste. And we're out on the street, and somebody says, "You know what? I have to get these designs to this place." But I locked myself out of my apartment, and I need $20 for a cab, or I'm going to be on the street all night. And I just stared at her like, what are you going to do? Because I'm not. You know, like when there's a couple, and you know who's in charge? Like, I've been a waiter, and yet you can have a table of eight people. You always know who's in charge, you know? Like that,
right.
We just saw Get Shorty. And he's like, who am I talking to? You can talk to me. That's what I thought. Mm. You know who you're talking to. And so I just look at her. I'm like, talk to her because she didn't give up right away. I'm like, go ahead. And so he starts talking to her, and it's like, got 20 bucks, and he's like, okay, you sound very, you know, for lack of a better word, you sound very classy, and here's $20. He's like, okay, and I'll come to your restaurant. Where's your restaurant? And I've heard that before. Right, and it's something, yeah, it's like you just making you feel so bad, but I'm like, I've been in New York 8 years. Right, right.
You know what? But they keep coming up with really good things.
But at a certain point, you just give the fuck up. Like, we talked about Rite Aid going, do you want to give $1 for cancer kids? I believe that is absolutely legit. And I'm like, that happened too fast, and they don't get any money today.
I had someone come up to me where our grocery store is in the parking lot, and the wife either was pregnant or appeared to be pregnant. And he's like, my wife is pregnant. We have to go back home, but we just got robbed. We got robbed out in daylight, and we need, like, because we live, like, in Ronkonkoma, which is, like, a little ways out. We need, like, I think it was, like, $30. Even a dollar would help, and I was like, no, I only have enough to go shopping with, because I was like, this has to be a scam. And if you're so, the police department is like, and I told him, I was like, you know what, I think I said this, because there was a police department not far away from the area. It's like, here's what you can do. You can go, like, get a, would you beg on the street, right, or would you figure something out?
Although, you know what? I went.
I have asked for a quarter from somebody or whatever.
I felt so bad asking for a quarter. In fact, once I had like a scientific calculator. Oh, and I got gotten on a scam. I'm doing that fucking sell perfume on the street for $10 pyramid bullshit.
You did that?
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Yeah, but it wasn't Long Island, but I don't remember where it was. It might have been Long Island. So I had to take a train, but I had no money. I was wasting every money on, you know, sneaking those donuts that are in the office, but they weren't for me because I'm this bullshit scammy. And what's the point? Oh, so I didn't have to. They're like, yeah, come tomorrow. I promise you'll make money. And I called them that night before I go, and I'm like, I'm serious. I'm flat fucking broke. I will sell these on the street, but am I getting money today?
Right.
Like some douche. And yeah, if you do what I tell, in hindsight, yeah, I know every word. If you do what I tell you to do, you will make money. And it's like, well, I guess I forgot some fine print. But I don't get money. And to get back home, I'm like, here's a calculator. Everybody thinks I stole it and I'm a bum. But these people have money because they're taking a train at 4 a.m. You know what I mean?
Right. What did one time I was like, I think it was,
I forget how I even got home.
I was out on a date one time or something like that. I don't even know if it was. Anyways, I had the guy hold my money. I think I only had like 10 or 20 bucks, but I had him hold it because I don't have pockets because I'm a girl and it's the summertime. And then when I was going back home, I forgot to ask him for the money back, and I'm late to get home, and I know my mother's going to kill me, and I'm already starting to come up with like a reason of why I'm late. She didn't even know I was out with this guy, so I'm like, fuck. So I saw a cop down in the train. I got to get in the train station. I don't want to jump this turnstile because I don't want this to turn into an even bigger thing. And I did that like almost crying thing to them. I'm like, I swear that's to easier, God, I had money. Well, I think when you're a girl, but oh, I was telling Keith, like, we should totally see on this, because we're in the perfect place.
I was going to say that. I lived in a place where I gave a bomb ahead of time, $5, maybe $10. And I said, okay, seriously now, how much do you make? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I do pretty good sometimes. And honestly, like, you hear those stories about there was a bomb and then I was on a plane and I saw the bomb in first class. I know two people that I trust completely that said that
that's
happened.
That's kind of weird. Like,
that
why
said
first
that
class?
Happened to.
First of all, even seeing a bomb on an airplane is a big deal.
No, dressed up. But you saw, he's the one that you saw always go into your house, you know? When I lived in Brooklyn, in New York, and I lived close to where it starts getting bad. And there's that friendly bomb, you know? And then they said, I believe him.
I believe
that. I gave him enough, and he's always in the same place. And you're like, that's the friendly bomb. Every time we take a lunch break, we all give the same bomb money. Wow. He was making more than us.
Yeah, could be.
And you were going to say that, yeah, we thought.
I was
going like,
to say that we should do it, you know, just even as an experiment, just to come back and report.
You act pregnant.
Yeah, just to come back and report how well we did. Like, one time as a scammy people, like,
you just, but I can't even do it. I couldn't do it. And you just have to not have any pride.
Exactly. And he can't do it. He didn't even grow up here. I run into people I went to high school all the time.
Right. I'm worried about running into people I ran into 8 years ago that I don't give a fuck about.
Exactly. But I don't want, you know, now I'm begging on the train and it's like,
no, you misunderstood. We have a radio show.
Right.
Shycom Lipson.
Look, we have cards. We're business people. We're adults. We were kids' parties. I swear to God.
Right, right.
No. And I wouldn't even go into it. I would just be like, fuck this. And I know it would get back to my mother.
No, then you get 100.
Ah.
And then we never quit doing it.
Because I went to a Jewish school and everyone's a lawyer.
And then somebody's telling somebody a story like, okay, I swear to God, they're bombs. But I heard they have a radio show every day.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
And we're the yeah, right story.
But Herman Melville, after he leaves the soup kitchen, this was the bullshit part of the thing. Because I believe every other part of this movie. He walks on the train tracks and he trips. And his plate of food that he brings to Bartleby, hoping to find them, falls on the ground. And it's fine china that breaks.
Yeah, it breaks like it's so loud. It was such thick. We don't have that. Not
that
we have money.
That's the classy city.
Yeah, they would do it on paper plates, especially if he's going to walk out of the soup kitchen with that. They all would walk out to try to sell it.
Herman Melville died, like we said, at 75, unfamous. They said he, in the beginning of the movie, it starts that he wrote Moby Dick and this movie. This movie that takes place in a clerk's office. Then he ended up working in a clerk's office.
Are you sure that was
That's
that
what
was an
they
after
said.
Thing?
They definitely said after.
We should look that up, though.
How miserable he must be. They made a point that he died unknown and miserable.
Well, that's huge, to be so huge after you die.
Or maybe he was never fucking huge. Because what? Because he wrote Moby Dick, the only other book written
that's
in
huge.
10 years.
That's huge.
Did you read it?
Who didn't hear of Moby Dick?
Who didn't hear of it? My balls. Who didn't hear of them?
What the fuck? How does that even make sense? Gulpy gulp.
I like the drink. All right, so there you go, kids. There's your lesson on Bartleby the Scrivener.
Oh, wait, there's one more. I'm sorry, there's one more thing. In the movie, they had, because everyone was waiting in line for the soup kitchen, they turned actors into bums, into homeless people.
Oh, yeah.
And they were standing in line, and then a homeless person happened to have come into the line, so they put him in there. And then a real bum, and some newspaper caught wind of that, and they ended up writing a story about it and put his picture in the paper. Then he got a job off of that. What's his job?
Physical education for children.
Yeah, for middle school, and then he's on the news again touching kids.
Right.
I just added that.
But he will be.
But that's weird.
And guess who
won't? I used to be a bum, but now I'm your teacher.
But you won't hear about that because it'll happen in between the Jackson case. All right. We're going to play now the popular theme song from Metallica, Bartleby the Scrivener. No, I don't know. There's no song to play to this bullshit. The book sucked. The movie sucked. Good night.
He scares easily. It makes him so angry at me. And his head spins around. It's like The Exorcist. And I find it ever so hard to resist his cries. But there's nothing more sadistic than an infant waving his pistol in my face. He wants me right down on my knees, crumbling in disgrace. But he underestimates my mind. I know he's messing with my head. My only weakness is I can't believe the guy could be entirely dead. Can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. Can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. Trigger happy Jackie gonna blow, but I'm gonna get off. Boy, you go, my trigger happy Jack is just a drive-by. Go, go, go. Go, go. And after a while he calms down, and he looks at me like a prince. Better bite the bullet, cause it's just another one of his Jedi mind tricks. But this ain't no head trip, honey. This is a collision on the road. And you got me feeling not just like a roadkill. And you know deep down I know. Can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. Can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. Sugar happy Jackie gonna blow, but I'm gonna get off before you go. to want him, but I hate him just enough to get off. But I understand him. Maybe I'm just crazy enough to love him. Why not?
Why not?
Oh! You can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. You can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. You can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. You can't talk to a psycho like a normal human being. You can't talk to a psycho like a normal.